is the Vinny White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Doesn't adjust my money. Hi. See, I went in with quite a big beginning. Everything's going to be a bit flat after that. I should have gone in softly, softly, and then built the momentum. I've gone the wrong way. Very American. A lot of whooping and cheering and very little action. Good evening, my name's Vinny. What on earth is this man doing on the radio? He's an immigrant, an imposter, and we don't like him. That's what some people say. We can call them racists. But you are a fine person, and you've welcomed me and warmed you. Warmed you? I warmed me. Warmed my cockles. We warm each other. Come here and hug me, and we'll embrace and hold each other close over the next hour as we go through an audio jungle described as talk radio. In the next hour, me, Vinny White, the foreigner, will be entertaining you with such witterings and rantings to captivate and enthrall every part of your being. Or about 1%. That it'll do. If you suffer from ADHD, you've gone already. You can't win with them. You can't. There's nothing you can do. Never feel offended. What are we going to talk about? Don't know. Let's have a see how it goes. I think it's like chat roulette, really. I wonder if that would work on the radio. Should we try that one day? What could possibly go wrong? All the naked people, the listeners won't see. It'll only be my eyes that are polluted. Not sure it would make great audio, but maybe one day we'll play chat roulette. Until then, I want to talk about what I did today, which was I went to Toronto Island. I want to talk about the fact that we're all getting a little bit ripped off on a pint of beer here in Toronto. Fact! Not just the rantings of a Brit. The Washington Redskins. Is that all right? Is it? I know I was going to talk about it last week. I quite often say I'm going to talk about something, then never get around to it. So you'll notice that nearly always the introduction to the show isn't entirely correct, but we'll do our best. Words we need in English. I've been saying I'm going to do that for years. A mailman and the fear of flying. Also, religious rock. Is it good? No. It's not, is it? All that, or most of that, or a good chunk of that as we go. Delete as needed. Would you like to get involved in the show? Then why don't you, damn it? 416 872 1010 on the old telephone. Wouldn't it be great if you could text the show? You can! It's mega easy. 71010. And it comes straight through the studio. What else is there? Facebook and email and all that stuff. Well, Facebook, it's Vinny White. Twitter, it's Vinny White. And email, just go to the website. Newstalk1010.com, and you can find links. It's all terribly clever. I went to the island today. I've never been before. I've lived here. I've lived in Canada for about, I think it's 8 years now. I arrived on September the 11th, so that was my 8th anniversary fairly recently. Cheap flights. So that was nice. And is it 8 years? Yeah, of course it is. It's 8 years and a chunk. 6 of those years were spent living in Ottawa, which is definitely the most happening city in the world, if you've never left Ottawa. And then I moved to Toronto, where I now live, but I've been meaning to get to the island ever since I arrived, and I only actually managed to do it today. And I have to say, without sarcasm for once, bloody nice. It's nice over there. Had a lovely little day. Got the boat over. Well, as you would expect. I mean, I've got, obviously, fantastically well-built muscular arms, but they're not that good, baby. I know they look it. they don't actually look it. But I got the ferry over there. You would think, wouldn't you, being in my status in life as a talk radio announcer on the Canada's biggest talk radio station with what it can only be described as the best show. I say it can only be described as that. It could also be described as the crappiest. But they would, of course, be wrong. But you would think, as a man of my elevated status, that I would get a water taxi. But no, I'm a man of the people. And I tell you what, if you get a ferry across, you don't half feel it. What system is that? I know what happened today. I know what they thought. They thought, well, it's never going to be hot at the end of September, so we'll just have like Bob, Steve and Colin. They can look after the entire system and we'll just get an inflatable dinghy and ferry the two or three passengers that are going to want to cross over this massive body of water to the beautiful archipelago, which is the Toronto Islands. And then it was sunny and they thought, well, we could phone loads of people and get them in, or we'll just muddle through. I think it probably felt... I didn't arrive during the war onto this continent, you know, in one of the ports in Halifax or New York, worried about my future, not able to speak English, confused about the whole world, to a menacing and difficult system of paperwork that is enough to confuse and actually scare many a family, all to the cacophony of screaming children and people coughing in your face. I didn't arrive then, but I did see it today. What a system is that? Let's go for a nice day out. Okay, well, once you're there, it's good. Nice. How's the harbour? Gorgeous. You can have a beer. Good. I guess the boat trip must be nice as well. Hell on earth. Cattle. I wouldn't be surprised if I've got a brand on my back. Herd it in there. Locked behind. Miss, you know that like, Titanic scene when the gates close and the band are still playing and they're like, we know we're going down. That happened without the sinking or the band. But, you know, a bit of hyperbole. No, it's nice once you're there. And you can look back at Toronto once you're there and take lots of photographs. Many a selfie was taken with Toronto looking good. Actually, if you go to the island, I suggest you do go to the island because from the island, Toronto looks like it's been finished. It's great. Nice city. Do let me know when you finish it, won't you? How's Front Street? Looking good? I'll tell you what, they are laying those streetcar tracks down with the speed and ferocity of a asthmatic ant with some heavy shopping battling up the stairs. Unbelievable. Front Street. It rhymes with what it should be called. You filthy animal. Filthy. All right. So that was that. Anyway, it was lovely once I was there. And I had a nice sit down and a beer and wandered around. Had some nice food. Oh, by the way, the restaurant obviously didn't plan on anyone actually coming over either. Restaurant was like, salads off the menu. If salads off the menu, then greens with everything is gone. Mm-hmm. If you go for the burger, we can slam a bit of tomato in it. Back of the net. Now that's healthy. I'll have two. But having said all that, it was a very nice day. Have you heard about the leprechaun and his bag? I don't know. It's one of those stories that is getting probably a bit more press than it should do. But it's a good talking point for... can I say arseholes? It's borderline, isn't it? It's a bit embarrassing because I appear to have said it now. But this man, who we will describe as that, but let's not use the term again because I don't want to be rude. But it's a great description for him, let's be honest. If you haven't heard this story, if it is a story, a man wouldn't move his bag for a woman. Is it on a bus or a streetcar? It was what? Bus. That's Elliot, the producer, by the way. I'm not going completely insane yet. Yeah, he wouldn't move his bag. And we've all seen that when people do that. But this guy was particularly virulent and just annoying. Here's the audio.
This is just a snippet of a nasty confrontation on a TTC bus. The woman in red, Brenda Davey, says it had been a long day and all she wanted was to sit down. But there was that bag in the way.
Glad your bag is comfortable.
Well, you got nothing.
According to Davey's Facebook post, the man allegedly called her an airhead and at one point stomped on her foot. Her post viewed thousands of times in just hours.
It was pretty shocking. I was pretty surprised to hear that someone...
Bags do not belong on seats. Seats are for people. Bags don't pay fares. People do.
Brad Ross with TTC reached out to the woman through social media, even tried tracking down security footage of the alleged incident. But Davey now says she just wants the whole thing dropped, only it may not be that easy.
He clearly is being vilified in the media for this.
This lawyer specializes in social media and says the damage may already be done. While the man in green remains nameless, his face and allegations of assault are everywhere.
it's one thing to post a picture on social media. Clearly, it's documenting what happened. I mean, as far as we know, it's not an altered picture. But it's another thing to post comments that go with it. So, you know, are you opening yourself up to a defamation action? Potentially.
Well, yeah, I suppose you might be. That's the thing, you see, because it might turn out that the leprechaun, as he's been dubbed, could, in theory, start his own lawsuit about defamation of character, because now he's all over the internet. And in fact, when I say he's all over the internet, you've got to love the internet because it is more bizarre every day, isn't it? He's become a lot of people's profile picture. If a description would be black hat, goatee beard, green shirt. I mean, it is a bit leprechaun-esque as it goes. I don't think he had a pot of gold, and he didn't seem as humorous and witty as most Irish people that I know. But he was nonetheless looking as much like a man can look like a leprechaun without a fishing rod. And there he was doing his thing. Do leprechauns fish? I feel like I've said that. Am I mixing my gnomes and leprechauns? And then we could bring in pixies. What are they about? Chucking a fairy? Who knows what's going on? Some have got wings. It's a jungle out there. So hard to be PC when doing stereotypes. Anyway, there he is. He's a bit of a git, as we would say in the UK, and he wouldn't move his bag. And I think it does shine a light on just general people that don't understand the concept of living in a busy city. And I've got the solution, as always. It was always going to come out. It's the old classic. Banish. Banish him. Pop him on a boat, send him out to... Is there one of the islands that hasn't got anyone living on it? Let's go, actually. It's a bit nice there, isn't it? We can't do that. It'd be like a holiday. Let's send him up to Baffin Island. Baffin Island with a T-shirt for comfort and a book on manners and general etiquette. There you go. Chuck him up there. Give him some whale blubber. Teach him some harpooning. Off he goes. Back of the net. You're welcome. You are very welcome. I don't know why I never got that job as a high court judge. How is that? Speaking of transit and travel in general, yet again, we're in a situation where a fear of flying is back upon us. Yep. Have you got a fear of flying and terrorists in general? Well, then let's actually just look at this for a moment, shall we? The other day in Syria, the US conducted airstrikes on a relatively unknown and, let's be completely honest, possibly non-existent entity called the Khorasan Group. The Khorasan Group, which sounds more like a job-killing consulting firm than a people-killing Al-Qaeda spin-off to me. It was a surprise plot point in a campaign against ISIS or ISIL or Icing Sugar or whatever they're called this week. Anyone reading the headline would have been a little troubled. Particularly, I think it was The Independent in the United Kingdom that came up with the headline, Khorasan Group plotted against US with explosive clothes. Yes, it's now clothes. They've done the water. That's done. Shoes have been done. Now it's just explosive clothes. Wasn't there also a set of boobs once that were explosive? Not accidentally, intentional explosive boobs. Many a boob has combusted, I'm sure. But yeah, the latest thing to worry about now for all of us that ever think about getting an aeroplane is explosive clothes. Clothes, yet another thing we won't be able to take on a plane soon. I don't think they're going to be happy until we're stripped naked, washed down, and then given some sort of sack to wear when getting on a plane. And if you're from the United Kingdom, by the way, you're just a terrorist anyway. Because I had to go, where did I go the other day? North Carolina. And on the way there, as is always the case, because I don't have a Canadian passport, I get fingerprinted and photographed. And they charge me $6 for that. Because there's nothing like paying for your own invasion of privacy. Doesn't rub salt in those wounds. And I said to the guy, knowing fully well that the answer was yes, I said, is this obligatory? And he said, what? I said, is this obligatory? He said, what? I said, is this obligatory? He said, what? I said, is this obligatory? He said, you mean mandatory? It's the same thing! It's the obligatory and mandatory is the same thing. And you know that. Anyway, if you're worried about getting on a plane, let's just actually break down the actual thoughts on the amount of fear that you have of perhaps an explosion or indeed any other form of terrorist activity and or a crash through other consequences. It's still, despite all the media attention this stuff gets, very, very limited. And still, by no chance, is there even a debate on this, the safest way to travel long distance. If you want to buy a hovercraft, good luck. It's going to be a giggle, but it's not as safe. The toothpaste bomb first surfaced during the Sochi Olympics earlier this year, and clothes dipped in liquid explosives menace. That came to attention, I think it was August 2013. And of course, just a few months ago, there was speculation about the need for airline passengers to fear an i-bomb, i.e. a bomb so small that could fit into an iPhone. Which, by the way, if Apple made it, they'd still say it was for everyone's benefit, and they'd probably upgrade it every year. Yeah? And there'd be idiots lined up. I gotta get the latest i-bomb. The only thing that changed between then and now is the anonymous officials slapped a name on the alleged masterminds behind these absurd plots and then sent in some drones to where they are based. So, really, the formula seems to be common item plus explosives equals justified military action and hassle for all the rest of us at airports. I mean, maybe I'm just cynical. Well, actually, I am. I can tell you that for a fact. There have been conflicting reports as to how imminent the Khorasan Group's aviation attack really was. But regardless of whether these alleged terrorist masterminds had their favourite sweaters weaponised and ready to blow, or they were just thinking about it, exactly what we're supposed to feel when confronted with such news of such counter-terror campaigns carried out on our behalf. I mean, let's not forget, we are living in a time that Obama has now decided to do more airstrikes. A Nobel Prize laureate, by the way, Obama, just in case we forgot that. Nobel Prize laureate to go to war with new airstrikes in, amongst other places, Syria. I wouldn't mind him going to war if he didn't say, A, I'm not going to go to war, and B, I'm going to close Guantanamo within a year, which I think he said about 7 years ago, and it still hasn't closed. So, you know what I mean? It's give and take. Just stick to some of what you say, and it will be all right. Honestly, it's just because we all had hope. Obama. Now, a Peace Prize laureate going to war with airstrikes in, amongst other places, Syria. It's like your seven-year-old daughter saying she's going to eat some healthy carrots, clean up her room, and then go to bed early. And then she eats a load of chocolate, throws up in her room, and then pulls some spider's legs off. It's worse because you had high expectations. Do you know what I mean? You thought she was different. You know, little girls do this kind of thing, but you thought she was different. That's how I feel about Obama. I had faith. I was foolish. But let's look at the stats before you start reading the next thing that will probably come out this week. Explosive underpants have already been done. So what's next? I don't know. Explosive hearing aids, probably pretty soon. Explosive sunglasses. Explosive toupees. Could be nice. In 2001, Richard Reid attempted to bring down a plane by igniting his shoes. Do you remember that, shoe bomber? The foot perspiration rendered his amateur IED's fuse soggy. It never worked. It never worked. Right, next. Security experts still argue whether the liquids plot in 2006, the reason we're not allowed to travel with any liquids more than, I think it's 3.4 ounces, or a Toronto pint of beer. The 3.4 ounces of liquid aboard planes in the US, we're not allowed to do that. It's not even sure whether that was actually plausible. It turns out mixing hydrogen peroxide, sulfuric acid and acetone is difficult even in the calm of a science laboratory. Never mind an aeroplane toilet. So I wouldn't worry too much about that one. And on Christmas Day 2009, you may remember, there was, I think it was Umar Abdulmutallab tried to blow up a flight to Detroit with a bomb sewn to his underwear. Do you remember that guy? He managed instead to burn his genitals, which I think we can all agree is comedy gold. He actually literally fried his nuts. So before you start panicking and reading all these things that are inevitably going to come out last week and over the next future weeks about possible terror plots, just do take it with a little pinch of salt and remember, airplanes are still by far and away the safest way to travel. Mm-hmm. I like to think of this show as a sort of, if you haven't got a mum, I like to be like your mum without, you know, being that feminine, being somewhat borderline verbally abusive. But I just like to make you think that everything's going to be all right, because the rest of the media spends all its time scaremongering. I am the opposite. If you've had a panicky week, tune into Vinnie White, have an audio hug. Everything's going to be fine. It might get a bit boring at times, but it's probably going to be all right. And it's too easy to say that it isn't. And that's my conclusion. When we come back, we talk about religious rock. Is it good? Not really. We also talk about the Redskins. Is that name okay? Same answer. Coming up.
This is the Venny White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
I was in Washington the other day on my way back from Carolina. It's all right, actually. I didn't get to see it properly, but I saw the, you know, I saw the Coles Notes. That first time I've been there, and it's quite groovy in some parts. It's quite funky. The Washington Redskins, of course, are a sports team, football team. Always feels wrong me saying football, but I'm on the continent, I will say it. They call it football, I call it football. For now, till I go back to England, and then I call it American football. American football. So, yeah, Redskins. And is that right? Is it all right to call them that? My answer is no, I don't think it is. I don't think it's entirely respectful to the Native American peoples. And I know you could say, it's just the name of a sports team, dude. It's the way it's always been. Well, that sort of mentality, that whole, it's the way it's always been, is usually quite a dangerous caveat to many hostile and possibly warmongering situations. They are, aren't they?
It's the way it's always been, man. Don't worry about it. Blacks have to sit at the back of the bus. It's the way it's always been.
You know, it's not really forward thinking. And you could say,
well, it's only the name of a sports team.
Yeah, but it's the Redskins, and the logo is a Native American Indian with feathers in his hair, looking rather sullen. Profile view, you may remember it. And I don't think that's all right anymore. But what I really don't think is all right is Daniel Snyder, the team captain. I'm not sure that he is right in his defence of it. And that's what got me recently when he said, to ask to justify the name of the team, he said, a Redskin is a football player. He went on to say, a Redskin is our fans, the Washington Redskin fan base. It represents honour. It represents respect. It represents pride and hopefully winning, he said. Words, oddly, I would associate with the opposite of how the native peoples in North America have been treated. If I was a Native American in Washington, I'd start a sports team called the Washington Rednecks in defiance. That's what you should do. You could have Cotton Eye Joe as a theme tune and a logo of a fat man sitting on the back of a tailgate on a dilapidated old pickup truck. Washington Rednecks. Fight fire with fire. But I'd like you to weigh in on this. Am I being hypersensitive? Am I inviting myself to a conversation that I shouldn't be even having? I mean, let's face it, if we were to consider me as a Brit and not an individual, you would say that I had a barbaric past and very much a repression towards Native American peoples. I don't think I was personally involved, but I would understand that angle on things. Perhaps I'm being somewhat oversensitive, am I? So I'd like you to weigh in with your thoughts. 416-872-1010. And you can text the show on 71010 if you think that it's all right. Is it all right? The name Redskins? The Washington Redskins?
It's the way it's always been, man. What's it got to do with us anyway? Just let them do their thing.
Is it all right? I'm not sure it's okay. Like if we had a new team start in Toronto and they said, well, I think we'll call it the Toronto Gollywogs. I don't think you will. I don't think you will do that. So the fact that it's
always been that.
Well, it's always been that for 80 years. It's not even that long. You know, when you look at it on a historical reference of tribal peoples.
Well, it's always been called the Washington Redskins for nearly eight whole decades.
Yeah, let's just, because there's so many you could pick. It's not even a good name. Never mind that. Why don't you call it something a bit more glorious and American? You know, something that people can chant. The Washington Patriots. There probably is one of those. Okay. The Washington Douchebags. No. I don't know. Just get a film title. Washington Bravehearts. There you go. It's easy. You're welcome. You can have that for nothing. Change it. It's past. It's a bit pathetic. It is offensive. And I think we're done. However, if you disagree, I would like your comments on this. 416-872-1010. So far, just a load of text messages saying two right. They shouldn't be called the Redskins. Vinny, what on earth is it if in 2014 people are still calling their sports teams Redskins? Yeah, no, everyone seems to agree with me, which is the way I like it. Ever since I've introduced that filter that filters out everyone that disagrees with me on the phone and the text message, this show, albeit not quite as cataclysmically entertaining, has become a lot easier to do. Glad I did that. Here's the first disagreement. Well, it's a bit on the fence disagreement. Dear Vinny, why should we care? All right. Yeah, cheers. brilliant. You could say that's a pretty any topic that's brought up in talk radio. Why should we care? Good point. Should we put some music on? Bless you. Here's something to care about. Toronto beer prices. Right. New report. Some Toronto bars aren't giving you a full pint of beer. Fact. The Toronto Star found that out of 15 pubs, 12 poured less than 20 ounces of beer in your glass. Now, some journalist managed to get himself an absolute beauty of a job here. He's gone around 15 pubs, 12 poured less than 20 ounces. So the next time you go out for a pint of beer, take a look and see if it really is a pint or 20 ounces. Now, the federal government is on the prowl looking for bars and pubs. And take this as a warning, bar owners, particularly on King Street, where you pay $9 for a thimble. Take it as a warning. The federal government is on the prowl looking for bars and pubs that, for whatever reason, let's assume it might be profit, short pour on draft. Measurement Canada reacts to complaints, and under legislation introduced last month, bar fines of up to $2,000 per short pint. Yes! I wish I had that power to do it there and then. Hiya, can I have a pint of Stella, please? Thanks. Not only am I not going to tip you, I'm also... Can I have $2,000? Because it's a wee bit short. I mean, I'd be an alcoholic, but I'd be a rich alcoholic. The Star went to 15 pubs and bars, small and big, and found out that of the 15 establishments, as I said, 12 poured less than 20 ounces. Typically, they poured 18 ounces, but some were off as much as 6 ounces. In some instances, a bar will tell you that it's a pint, but they're using the term generically, and in fact, it's not a pint. Measuring not 20 ounces. The staff found that some bars said the problem was, in some cases, too much head on the beer. In other cases, they complained that the beer companies are giving them glasses that can't actually handle that amount of beer anyway, so they couldn't do it if they even wanted to. So, if you think you're being ripped off, I would suggest complaining. And ask them to top up. Don't be scared, particularly when you're paying $9 a pint. I think it's justified. We need every swig. So I think we should protest. Let's march for a fair pint of beer. Toronto, yeah? March for your rights in Ontario. Together. We should take to the streets. What do we want? A full pint of beer. When do we want it? When we're in a place that is legally permitted to serve alcohol because of a draconian conservative law of Ontario that forbids people to drink in a park or a lakeshore unless behind a segregated fence, making a drink feel like a crime. I mean, it needs to be a bit catchier, but, you know, we can work on it. Henry, tell me your thoughts. We're going to jump back to the last topic. Henry, tell me your thoughts on the name of the Redskins. Do we think that's all right?
I've never. This argument has been going on for a long time. Mm. And I've never heard. It would take a comedian like you, a clever person, to go, okay, what would you call the Washington Rednecks? Can you imagine the stink? Or South Carolina Rednecks? That would never happen.
It's perfect, isn't it? Let's do it.
New Mexico Bandoleros. Muchachas. Oh. Like, this is genius. You're funny.
Thank you. The New Mexico, actually, you could, for the new...
The amount of beer you get in a glass, yeah. Very important. $9 a glass, and they stiff you for 3 ounces?
I know. We need to revolt. We need an uprising. Don't put up with it. Next time you get a beer, let me ask you this. If you got a beer and you knew it was short, say, I don't know, a centimetre under the fill line.
Yes.
Would you say something?
Yes.
Yeah, good.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I drink a lot of beer. I drink a lot of beer. Yeah. And I don't go out a lot. I go out with some friends and I spend not $9 a pint. I haven't paid in a while. But around here, there's some jazz clubs in Ronce's Village.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And I go, come on, wait a second. You bring me this little glass. Is it 6 ounces in the glass? You're charging me $7.
Yeah. It's not fair, is it? Well done. You keep up that protest. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
See you later. I thought of one for the New Mexico football team, actually. Because that was, wasn't it Breaking Bad was in New Mexico? You could call it the New Mexico meth cookers. Is it wrong? It's as wrong. when we come back, we talk about a troubled mailman who hoarded 40,000 pieces of mail. Probably not what you're supposed to do as a mailman. And a few other things as well up my sleeve. You're listening to News Talk 1010. It's Vinnie White. If you want to download the podcast, you can do from vinniewhite.co.uk. And you can do the usual shenanigans, you know, follow me on any social media network or in the street as some sort of stalky type dude, if you like. Whatever you like. Coming back in a minute.
You're tuned in to The Vinnie White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
How are you? You having a good weekend? Text me, let me know you're there, 71010. And all the usual channels. Phone the show if you want, 416-872-1010. Right, coming up. We're going to talk about words that we need in English, a feature that I've been meaning to do for about a month, and I think we might even find time for it tonight. We have a, I'm going to call her a professional wordsmith. She's got a degree in English, I think it's fair. She's cleverer than what I is when it comes to Englishisms. Intentional. But first up, let's talk about a troubled Brooklyn mailman. You may have heard this story. I thought this was absolutely phenomenal. A troubled Brooklyn mailman failed to deliver some 40,000 pieces of mail. It came out this week. 40,000. He's been hoarding the massive stash in his home, in his car, and at his post office locker. Joseph Bricato, who is a Vietnam War veteran, admitted hiding a ton of mail. And when I say a ton of mail, I think it's not that far off, a ton of mail. Meant for customers in Brooklyn since 2005. He's been keeping it to himself. It took five postal agents 5 hours to remove the massive stash of purloined letters from the 67-year-old's apartment this weekend, which he shares with his wife and child. Whoa, back that up. What? He shares the apartment with his wife and child? You would think that at some point she said, honey, could you move those 40,000 pieces of mail that you put in the spare bedroom? You know, because my mum is coming to stay. Can you do that? By the way, I'm sure you're supposed to deliver them to other people's houses, and it is a bit of a fire risk. You'd think that conversation happened. The neighbour said, it really shocked me. This is Bruno Honovic, 72. Our neighbour thought maybe... when we saw our neighbour with all the mail, we thought he was moving out. We thought the post office was helping him by lending him a truck. Turns out he had 40,000 pieces of mail stashed away in his house. We were really shocked. You know what annoys me about news articles? The neighbours are always shocked. Always. Always. They never say, oh, Bob. Oh, yeah, he's mental. He was always going to do that. Do you know, they're always shocked. I'm longing for an article that says, you know, when a man was convicted of child pornographic images, neighbours say, what, Gary? Oh, my God. Of course it is. Have you seen him? Have you seen his glasses? They're like from the 80s. I could tell. That dude next door, he was always going to be a pedophile. Have you seen him? I knew he wasn't wholesome. He's a wrong'un. That never happens. Anyway, a postal supervisor became suspicious that the postman, hoarding 40,000 pieces of mail, was up to something weird when he noticed his personal car was stuffed with undelivered letters. Investigators pressed the man about the letter cache, and he copped to hoarding more than a ton. Oh, it is more than a ton of mail. A total of £2,500 over the past decade. So if you're listening in the Brooklyn area and you haven't got your mail recently, I can tell you who's got it. Bacato, who faces up to 5 years in prison if convicted, blamed alcohol and depression for his bizarre hoarding habit at his arraignment in court. Magistrate Vera Scalman ordered him to abstain from excessive alcohol consumption, which will always work. I think that's what they do at AA. Oh, I've got a problem. Yeah, just stop it. All right, cheers. See you later, yeah? That's... yeah, that'll fix it. Yeah. She said he has to abstain from. You have to abstain from your excessive alcohol consumption as part of your release. A Postal Service rep said officials will tackle the task of trying to deliver the stash over the next month or so. The man has been suspended with pay. With pay! Pending an outcome of his case. What's that about? I love unions. They're brilliant, aren't they? Well, we don't know yet. You know, it could have been innocent. He had 2.5 tons of the stuff. 40,000 pieces of mail. It took 5 people 5 hours to get rid of it. Yeah, but you know, let's give him pay and we'll talk about it later. Cracking. I presume he opened it all. It doesn't say that. But I'm assuming if you're going to hoard it all, I'd keep, like, you'd have to have a little smooch through, wouldn't you? I would. So if you live in the Brooklyn area, there we are. Now, I'm joined by our, I think we can call a beautiful guest tonight, Lisa the Wordsmith. Hello, Lisa.
Hi.
I've given you that title because you've got a degree in English and stuff.
Right.
And you're really clever. But I wanted to go through words that we need in English, and I wanted to offer a few that I've been meaning to do this for quite some time. If you travel around the world, you realise that there are some things that we just don't have in the English vocabulary, even though it is by far and away the language with the most words in it by a very, very long way. So you could argue, Shakespeare always said it was one of the most expressive languages, and he should know because he's Shakespeare, although he did go ahead and invent a few words. So there was obviously a few holes at that point. But I'd like to run some of these through you and see if you agree that we should have these.
Okay.
Now, what experience have you got? You've got a degree?
In English.
Okay. Have you ever read a dictionary?
I have.
Are you quite clever?
That's what they make you do first year, is just go to the dictionary, yeah.
This month, A to Z. Or if you're in Canada, A to Z, as it should be. All right. First word. Mm-hmm. Can we have a backing? I don't know what I need. What sort of music should we do to this?
I think it should be epic.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, can we have some epic music? Just to create a bit of drama, really. So I was going to go for the music for Jeopardy. Which definitely doesn't come under that bracket.
For me, I was thinking like... Da, 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 da,
oh, that's good. Yeah. Something you could... If you were in a boxing match, something you'd walk onto.
Oh, that, yeah.
All right,
let's see. Eye the Tiger, maybe?
We are going to look at words we need in English tonight here on News Talk 1010. Lisa, a brain box with a brain the size of a planet, pulls apart all the words from all across the world that we forgot to put into the best language there is, English. Is that all right?
Yeah, it works.
It's good because I'm also touting for a bit of voiceover work, and you never know what could come from that. Insert film title here. Insert actor here. Was never going to have an easy day. But when he and his insert plot here happened, it was amazing. That sort of thing.
Okay.
It's a bit tiring, though, isn't it? Can we turn it down a bit? I'm knackered. Right. First word is Portuguese. It's called saudade. Oh, forgive me, by the way, if you're Portuguese and, well, any of the following nationalities. Japan, Czechoslovakia, or Czech Republic, and German, because I'm going to be attempting to pronounce these words and doing a very bad job. Saudade. Portuguese. It's a pleasure you suffer, an ailment you enjoy. Do we need that?
I don't think so. I think the Anglo-Saxons are not emotional people, so...
There are times... no, exactly. So, stiff upper lip
stiff
and carry
upper
on.
Lip, exactly.
Yes, we don't need that.
So no need for that word.
Banishing
no,
that.
Done.
Yeah. Have you never been ill, though, and thought, I know it's wrong, but quite enjoying it?
Yeah, but I got the Portuguese blood, so I feel these things.
I see.
Do you ever feel that way? You're an Anglo-Saxon.
The only time I've ever felt it's good... to have like a really heavy cold is because it feels justified in drinking whiskey at stupid hours of the day.
Oh, okay, so maybe we do need this one.
So for that reason, it's all right. The next word is utepils. Now, in Norwegian, this word means to sit outside on a sunny day enjoying a beer. How quaint! Those cheeky Scandinavians always nipping out for a pills. The word there, utepils, and it means to sit outside on a sunny day enjoying a beer.
Well, if we were in England, it would be useless because there's no such thing as a sunny day, right?
True, yeah, that's true.
But I think today we could have used that day, that word, excuse me.
Yeah, you and I went to the island earlier.
Yeah, and we did sit outside and enjoy a sunny day.
Yeah, so today we had, I don't know how you put it in context, but I think we could say, today we had a lovely utepils.
Yeah.
If you're from any of these nationalities and you want to connect to our pronunciation, please do. Japan have the word awa. Now, the same list that renders this Japanese word as the bittersweet of a brief and fading moment in transcendent beauty, or as the Stanford Encyclopedia of Philosophy has put it, pathos, which is a bit less of a mouthful. So what it means is the bittersweetness of a brief and fading moment of transcendent beauty. So I don't know.
Very romantic. Yeah, we need that word.
Mm-hmm. I sort of had a bit when I looked at a weeping willow tree on the island today.
Really? Oh, that's so nice. It's very beautiful.
It felt like summer was coming to an end, and you could say I had an awa. I don't know how you pronounce it. Do you want to keep that one?
Yes, yeah, we're adding that one.
Okay. Then we have, from the Czech Republic, the word is litost. Now, this is a word that technically means a state of torment created by the sudden sight of one's own misery. This is when you catch yourself crying in the mirror and you feel even worse about it. Do we need that?
No. I don't even ever want to think about feeling that way, so no.
Yeah, but if you banish the word, it doesn't mean that that is never going to happen.
I feel like if you just, the word doesn't exist, then neither do the feelings.
It's very Orwellian to delete words. Okay. The next word is schnapsidi. Schnapsidi. This is a useful concept from German. It means an ingenious plan one hatches while drunk.
Oh, yes.
Fantastic.
This is a useful word.
That one's got to happen, hasn't
it? I feel like you have to say it a little harder, though. I don't think you're pronouncing it right.
Schnapsidi.
You're saying it too sweet. Say it like a German would.
I'll put it in context.
Schnapsidi.
Why am I doing a weird accent? I think this might be... Oh, it's borderline racism. Vinny's going to try and do a German accent.
Oh, yes.
Lashnate went out. Is that any good?
Sure.
Cheers. Glad you're here. Last night I went out and I had a schnapsidi. I decided to move all the road cones and block off the road. That's that kind of thing. I've done it. Trust me. Ingenious plan one hatches while drunk. Do we need that?
Yes.
Have you done it?
Yes.
What was your ingenious plan?
I don't think it's appropriate for radio. It could be incriminating, so we'll give it out.
Give us a little bit.
No. I'm on the spot here. Give us yours. Let's hear yours. I'm sure yours are much worse than mine.
What, the most ingenious plan I've ever hatched while drunk?
Mm-hmm.
I think, it's going to have to be when I was about 22 and I decided to move what we call road cones in England, what you call pylons.
Yeah.
And then a few of my friends came out to the pub and helped me move them. And we blocked off a road and then we weren't happy with that. So we diverted traffic up a one-way street and just stood outside with a beer and watched cars go head-to-head.
Enjoyed yourself. Oh, it's great.
Yeah, it was great. And definitely responsible in every way. Please don't do that if you're listening. Or if you're not listening. Another German word coined by the romantic poet Ludwig Tieck is, and again, I'm not going to do a great job on this, wall down same kid. Oh, my God, that was bad. Should have got a German in.
Walde, you didn't sound German. I'm not going to say what
Walde
you sounded
like. Walde same kid.
Walde.
Oh, of course it is. Walde same kid.
Yeah.
Walde same kid. Sounds like, is that the fella from Breaking Bad? Walde same kid.
Yeah, that's him. That's his name in Germany when they do the voiceover dubs.
Walde same kid is making the mess, Celine. Right, another German word coined by the romantic poet, described as a feeling of being alone in the woods and a connectedness to nature. Do we want that?
That is such a very German thing. They like their hiking and sure. It's not a lot of wilderness around here.
I don't know. Maybe we're on the island today.
Yes, you're right.
Wilderness.
Yeah, and we are by the weeping willows that touched
quite a
your
lot
heart
of them.
So well.
I did. I had a hang on, let me look it up again. I forgot. state of torment, bittersweet and brief moment of transcendent beauty. Oh, I had an awa today.
Yeah, that beautiful word.
Just before I had a schnapsidi and a welcome seat. Then my final one, so far we were saying it's, most of them should be included.
Ended in a bang.
Yeah, it might do. Is a Tosca. Which I know from experience is a Kenyan beer.
Beer, yeah. I was going to say, I remember enjoying a good Tusker.
But it's also, at its deepest and most painful, it is the sensation of great spiritual anguish, often without any specific cause.
And what language is this in?
Do you know what? I'm very sorry. I don't know. That's the one thing they haven't put in. Maybe you know. If you know the language of a Tusker, call in. Yeah, it's the deepest and most painful sensation, great spiritual anguish, often without any specific cause. I have had this, where, have you ever had that, where you're just walking down the road and just think, oh my God, I really hate humanity. Usually when you're in a car on Front Street. You ever had that?
Yeah, often.
You just think, I think it's all pointless. Mm-hmm. So there you go. Can we keep that?
Yes, let's keep it.
Good. I've put them all together and come up with a sentence.
Oh, I like this. I won't be able to translate it for you.
I think I'm going to offend most of Earth's population with this by mispronouncing all of the words. But what I've concluded, if you have too many utepils, you might come up with a schnapsidi. But if it goes wrong, you have a tosca.
Beautiful. Very good.
There you go. I mean, let's be honest, most people don't understand this accent at the best of times. There's people tuned in now thinking, it's gone. He's gone again.
You know, while I was sitting in that back room, a lady called in. Mm. She didn't want to go on air. She was a little shy. But she called in to say, her name is Marianne, and she called in to say that she loved you. And she loved your listening to your show and everything.
Now, I'm going to hope, as my friend,
yeah,
you got her vital statistics.
I know that she's in her 60s, I believe, is what she was. I think he's got her phone number for you. If you
60s,
yeah.
Is it wrong?
No, it's not.
Feels right.
It does. No, she likes you. So.
Yeah, first part's out the way.
She already listened to you talk.
Believe me, that's the hardest part.
Yeah.
I find it so hard to get women to actually like me. Now I found one. I think I'll just bank it. I said bank it. All right, we'll come back after a break on News Talk 1010.
That was fun.